afternoon. Welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on August 6, 2024, and time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Olson, our Vice President, and joining virtually is Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO, Colin Willenbrock, our General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and joining virtually, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices at this time. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Is there any items to be added or changes made to the published agenda, Commissioners?
I have nothing.
Okay. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the Board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from sign-up cards located at the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, please click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone, and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the Board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter to the record, please hand them to the Deputy Clerk, who will distribute them to the Board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the Board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So let's start out with our flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First on the agenda is our CEO General Manager briefing and study session. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Just one item on the General Manager briefing, and that is a media update in Aaron's Way.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Commissioners. Glad to be here. I know it's a little weird having me here in the afternoon, but I thought we had some stuff we've done this summer that I wanted to highlight for you guys. Just I'll make it quick. I want to get out of the way of everybody here. So first up, we usually do something on our summer projects, letting people know about all the work that we're doing out in the field, you know, what our crews are up to, how we're bolstering infrastructure. So we put a press release out in June on that, got a lot of hits on that, but the Herald did a really nice story with reporter and photographer coming out to Jennings Park Sub, walking us through that. The crews were magnificent. They talked about what it takes to build these subs, why it's important that we're building these subs, and really went into the safety and all that they do. So it was a really good opportunity for us. I think the story turned out really well. We also had some information on our battery project. So Ameresco and us put out a joint press release. This came out in July. It was picked up mainly by trade press, energy-related press picked it up. We'll be putting out more information on this project, obviously, in the months to come. We just want to get to a place where the permitting was in a better spot before we start really making a lot of noise about this in the public. Just some other media coverage. So you've probably seen a lot on the Climate Commitment Act, the bill credits going out. We just sent a press release out on that last week, got picked up by the Herald. A couple other publications picked it up. The governor had a big press conference on it, so we're just kind of adding to that noise, adding to the information for folks. We just want to get it out there as much as possible for our customers. We've had great pickup in terms of the survey. I think we've had about 14,000 customers fill out the survey to kind of self-attest to if they qualify for the bill credits themselves. The BPA power product possible switch, Clearing Up did a story on that, just talking about the fact that Clark, Emerald PUD, and us are looking into it as a possibility. And then the IRP open houses, our engagement team has done a lot of work on these. We've got one coming up on August 14th at the microgrid, and then two in September in Linwood and Snohomish, so we've been doing some press kind of around that. Publications, T&D World did a nice piece, or I guess we did a nice piece that ran in T&D World on our partnership with Tulalip. They were really interested in kind of the knowledge that we have on microgrids and how we're passing that on to Tulalip and working with them on that project. And then a big thing that we've been working on this summer is wildfire awareness. So you've seen this in the wire. Our Herald column in July was on wildfire awareness. We have a website that we've created that has a lot more information. And this is just to get that news out there that with, you know, the changing climate in our region, you know, we're taking this very seriously and we are paying attention to wildfires and doing what we can to mitigate that risk. Just a couple other things. John is in the he was in the June NWPPA magazine, a Q&A with John as the president. Very cool. And then tonight, a bunch of us from the communications and engagement teams will be out for National Night Out. So we'll be doing a lot in Sultan, Everett, Snohomish, and a bunch of different places. So if you have time, check it out.
Any questions for Aaron, Commissioner? Or comments?
I have none.
Commissioner Wolf? Is Commissioner Wolf on?
Okay. I just want to say I've seen the $200 bill credit numerous places, so great job getting the word out, multiple press, multiple news organizations.
Yeah.
So if the commission does vote to switch power products, do we have a communications plan or thoughts about?
We do. I just built it, and actually just with Garrison Marr working through the key messages for that and kind of what we want to do in terms of communicating that out to the public.
Any follow-up questions, Commissioner?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Aaron. Anything else, John?
That should do it.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to item two, recognition declarations. 2A, Employee of the Month for August, Corey Axman. Shauna Bozier here to introduce Corey. Good afternoon.
I'm as tall as Aaron. good afternoon, Commissioners. It is my pleasure to introduce Corey Axman as our Employee of the Month for August.
If I should stand, I'll stand.
Corey's outstanding.
Look like he is.
No.
Corey's outstanding contributions and faithful commitment to his team, our customers, and the district have earned him this prestigious recognition. His true dedication is evident in his daily tasks and his role as a team member. Corey's journey with us began here at the district in 2016 as a senior quality assurance specialist in our customer experience quality department. Corey was promoted to a senior business analyst in 2021, and then most recently a program manager 3 in our customer and energy services division. Corey has played a pivotal role in our customer service phone replacement project. He meticulously ensured that all our business requirements were properly documented and designed into the new system, leading the charge in user and system testing. Corey's efforts were instrumental in the introduction of a new software system that marked our first significant system change in the customer service department since a majority of our team went to a work from home model. He was responsible for creating training materials and assisted in conducting in-person training sessions for the customer service representatives to familiarize with the new system. Corey's quick grasp of a system configuration allowed him to swiftly resolve any issues that arose. As our resident expert on 5-9, whether it's troubleshooting or providing expert advice, Corey is always there to lend a helping hand. Corey also serves as our point of contact, or one of our point of contacts for our point of sale system, which enables in-office payments or credit card or debit card in offices. He continues to collaborate with the team to rigorously test the devices and troubleshoot any issues. The in-office card payment capability had been highly anticipated not only by our CSRs, our office technicians, but of course our customers who like to pay with a credit card in the office. Corey tackles challenges with a systematic approach, ensuring clear communication among all involved parties. He collaborates with various groups, including management, end users, ITS application analysts, project managers, and vendors, all whom greatly appreciate and value his input. Corey is easy to work with. It's hard to talk to you with you standing right here.
Let me stand up.
Corey is easy to work with and very results-oriented. Known for his calm demeanor, Corey is frequently sought after for his sound judgment and consistently accepts requests for assistance, eagerly delving into complex issues or troubleshooting existing problems to uncover solutions. Corey's hard work, reliability, and commitment does not go unnoticed. We are lucky to have him a part of our customer and energy services team and congratulate him on his employee of the month in his flamingo shirt. So I didn't mention that. Corey, when we were in office, coined Flamingo Shirt Friday. So while it's not Friday today, I am glad that he wore a flamingo shirt.
They're little tiny flamingos. Yes. So I have some that are way more. A little more professional. All right.
Congratulations, Corey.
You don't want to be.
We shy now.
Congratulations. Thank you.
You must be really nice.
Depends who you ask.
We'll straddle him here.
Oh. We're going to give the things out first.
To you.
He's a boss.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so, Corey, first of all, you sound like an amazing team member.
Thanks.
We're lucky to have. So it sounds like you're just able to help everybody and support everybody. Yeah. So thank you for all your hard work. For who you are and for your shirt. Sure. I'm going to look for one.
All right.
So Corey, you have a trophy case, of course.
Yeah, I do.
You're such an amazing employee. So now you have another trophy.
All right.
For your trophy case. Thank you.
And we have a little shirt here.
Thank you.
And I get to see. Oh, wow.
That's one of the other ones.
I like this one better. There you go.
Okay, let me set those down.
Hi, Corey. This is Commissioner Wolf. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Huh? This is Commissioner Wolf. I'm sorry to miss this big event today, but I understand you're a real treasure in your department. So thank you for all of your hard work and enjoy the honor while it lasts.
Thank you.
You know, in reading your write-up, it's another great example of collaboration. And being willing to share and recognizing that you're only as good as the folks that work around you.
Yep.
And it seems like you are quite an asset in terms of sharing, encouraging, and these are frontline jobs. They're not always that easy to do. So I really admire you having that skill set. I wish I did this. I really wish you well in the end. Now, you've been with the utility, huh?
A little over 8 years.
8 years. You're going to stay?
Yes. Forever.
I'm going anywhere.
Well, the board so appreciates. I mean, such talent in this organization is just amazing, and opportunities for employees. In or outside their own current department, so.
Don't just thank.
Oh, you. Mike.
Yeah, thank everybody. As we talked about, it's really a team thing. Everyone that I've worked with, you know, has allowed me to be successful in everything that I've done. So thank you all.
Hi.
Wife and daughter, right there.
Hi.
Coming up there.
Oh. Really? That's rather rude.
Can we get a picture?
Apparently we have to.
Yes. Take a photo.
She's like, don't make me. Aha.
Aha. On the other foot.
Mr. Wolf, you can.
No, you can. Go, photo.
do one with us and we'll do one without us.
I mean, you're not Commissioner Olson, sorry. Commissioner Olson, no.
Okay. Here, you want to let them do one just
yeah,
one?
I want them to do.
Christmas card? Well, thank you, Corey. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Corey. That is quite the honor. Well deserved.
Wait, we have more.
Oh, we do. Yes.
We do. We have item 2B, our General Manager's Life Saving Award for Katie Holt. I'll reintroduce John Arlo.
Yes, thank you.
To present the award.
So we do have the distinct honor and pleasure present the General Manager's Life Saving Award to Katie Holte. And Marie Barnes is going to kick us off with that.
I am. So nothing real estate related today, so I don't know if that's good or bad. But I have been for 2024 the chairperson for the Joint Safety Team. So as part of that, I'm going to go ahead and just give a quick explanation of the General Manager's Life Saving Award. And this is awarded for making a significant contribution in the attempt to save a life or lives or render aid to someone seriously injured. This includes, but is not limited to, acts of resuscitation, attempts to restart a person's heart, or contributing in a life-saving or major first aid event, wherein they play a significant role in the rescue area. So, right now, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Ryan Newby, Manager of Customer Service, and he's going to explain more about Katie Holte and her heroic efforts.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you, Commissioners, and I get the distinct pleasure to brag about my employee, Katie Holte. She's right over here. We won't make her stand up front just yet.
Why not? It's funny.
On Saturday, April 20th, Katie Holte and her family set out to get some food, and they were near the Casino Road area of Everett and wandered over to Panda Express to try to get a meal. And as soon as the family pulled into the parking lot, Katie noticed a man on the ground who was unconscious and a friend from the appearance who was trying to administer CPR. Katie quickly assessed that the person who was trying to give CPR needed help. And so she quickly parked in an adjacent stall with one car in between her and the victim. She wanted her family close, but also wanted to present some privacy. And Katie got out of her car, and being always prepared, she went to her trunk and got her PPE. She got her gloves, she got a CPR mask out of her trunk, ready to go. She walked over and asked one of the bystanders, has anyone called 911? They had confirmed, yes, we have. The gentleman who was trying to perform compressions gave way to Katie, who put on her gloves and checked for a pulse. She couldn't find one. She then put on the CPR mask over the person's face, got his head tilted back and opened up the airway and started giving compressions. And after a round of compressions, she gave a few breaths. She did a second round of compressions and two more breaths. And at that time, the man started to make some noises and his eyes started to have movement. She checked for the pulse again and found one at that time. It was almost immediately after this that the first responders arrived. Firemen and ambulance arrived on the scene and they relieved Katie. They took over. And of course, as she was walking back to her vehicle, one of the firemen pointed out the three daughters of Katie's who were now hanging out of the vehicle trying to see what they could see. Are these yours? To which Katie confirmed, yes, those are mine. She confirmed she was okay and checked in with the first responders, made sure it was okay for her to leave. And before she left the scene, Katie saw the man was sitting up on the ground in the care of first responders who administered naloxone. And so for Katie's heroic efforts of saving a life, we nominated her and she was awarded the General Manager's Life Saving Award. So congratulations, Katie.
Thank you.
There are three bags of Lifesavers. You can divide that amongst your daughters. How you say that. I did want to say one other thing. When interviewing Katie after the fact, why did you do that? You know, you could have very easily passed by a couple of people, you know, in Everett. And she said, you know, I think having the training and having the knowledge, if you know what to do, you should act. And so I did. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very profound. Well done, Katie.
Can we wander away? Thank you.
I would like to say, Katie, the amazing thing, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Okay. I just want to say that one of the most important things that I recognize as one who has also been through that training is just acting so quickly, how quickly you swung into action, got prepared, and did what needed to be done. So bravo. And, you know, I hope you don't have to do that too many times in your life, but you were there when you were needed. So thank you very much for all of your...
It does help that we have the refresher training, because yeah. I did actually teach CPR in first aid like 24 years ago, but it's changed a few times, and so having the refresher and having it fresh in your mind definitely helps.
That's great.
Now I have naloxone in my car, so if you can get it for free, recommend that you get it out of your car.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just add, I mean, this is a big deal, right? I mean,
Yes.
Save somebody's life, but to respond in the way that you did, Katie, that is huge. And just super proud of you and super appreciative of what you did and kind of the spirit in which you did it.
Thank you.
It's fabulous.
Thank you. It also impressed her daughters, because when they swim in our house in the pool, they play lifeguard. And save us.
Well, Katie, thank you very much. I personally was so fortunate that you were there that day. And, I'm so impressed. I'm impressed that you carry the equipment with you in your car. And I agree with you. Carry
Naloxone, Narcan, yeah.
Yeah.
You can get it for free, so.
Like
the next week.
Thank you. All right, next we'll move on to comments from the public, item 3 on today's agenda. Are there any comments from the public on items not listed on the agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record. So we have Mr. Keeler. Okay, Mr. Keeler.
My name is Stephen Keeler, last name spelling K-E-E-L-E-R. I'm a resident of Edmonds, Washington. Commissioners, good afternoon. The article is entitled "Why Californians Have Some of the Highest Power Bills in the U.S." It is a current article in the Wall Street Journal. Two quick excerpts from the article. California households owed $2.1 billion in unpaid utility bills at the end of 2023, more than four times the amount in 2019. Second item, resident Jessica Simpson, who lives near San Diego, has seen her electricity bill for her ranch-style home soar. It hit $1,873.90 in June of this year, far exceeding her $1,200 a month rent on the ranch-style house. It is double what it was two summers ago. Commissioners, I certainly hope this isn't part of your vision for the future of ratepayers here in Snohomish County. I urge you and the candidates for the replacement commission position in the fall to read this article carefully. It's in the Wall Street Journal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keeler.
We have Gayla Shoemake online. Good afternoon, Gayla. Good afternoon,
Hello,
Gayla.
Commissioner. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You have 5 minutes.
All right. I am very glad to hear that you all are looking at the future and Garrison is working hard to research options for energy within the next 50 years. You know, that's an area that I've been concerned about as well. I'm wondering if you have considered working with warehouses, car companies, other large businesses that have, you know, a lot of spare of roof, that you could put together a partnership with them, awarding having solar panels that could help with this, to give the PUD some additional energy that wouldn't necessarily be connected with the BPA. I know that's our major source of energy, but I do think that we need to look at increasing the other ways that we get energy for SnowPud as things change with climate change over time. So keep going, looking at all those additional options for energy, and think about, I mean, you can't really have a solar field, but you could have a solar roof project. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Next is item four, our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of July 16, 2024. 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. And 4C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? Not seeing any in the room, and I'm not seeing any online. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments about the consent agenda? Commissioner Wolf?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Commissioner Olson, no.
I have none. I'll call for the vote. All those approved say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. It's approved unanimously. Next, item five, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a motion accepting the monitoring report asset protection. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Acceptance. Can you restate that? Did you move acceptance? Commissioner Wolf?
Pardon?
Can you restate it that you move for acceptance?
I move for acceptance. I don't have a script, but yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is Kyra Farmer available to answer any questions regarding the report? Are there any comments from the public regarding the motion? Not seeing any. Any questions or comments, commissioners?
I have none.
Okay, Commissioner Wolf, do you have any?
No, I don't. Thank you.
I don't either. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next is item 5B, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager or his designee to negotiate a power service and transmission service product switch with the Bonneville Power Administration. I'll call for a motion.
Move approval.
With Garrison Marr here to answer any questions regarding this resolution, are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? Not seeing any in the room. Not seeing any online. Okay. Do you have any questions or comments, commissioners? Commissioner Wolf, do you have any?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Couple of questions, and then I will have a comment on the action before us this afternoon. And I don't want great detail, but there is in the presentation loss of some local control. And I'm seeing your head shake. Can you just give me just really in three sentences what that is? That operational? Or, come on down.
Hi, thanks, Commissioners. Garrison Marr, Senior Manager of Power Supply. So, you know, it's pretty limited operational control that was being referenced in the supply deck is really about interaction with that wholesale market, right? Okay. So buying and selling from the wholesale market, as well as the PUD directly ramping up the slice portion of the block slice product and ramping down the block slice product, which is essentially BPA system, as opposed to BPA doing those things on the PUD's behalf.
Great, thank you. Sometimes local control to elected official. Wait, light bulbs go on. Thank you very much. Oh, I did have one other. I'm probably not going to ask it because now I can't find it. I'll move on to my statement because it was just a clarification for me on something. This has been a major undertaking by district staff. The board has been previously briefed on this, and the need to take a look at our largest bulk power purchase contract. That contract is over 22 years old. Is that correct, that particular block slice?
I think
at least 20.
22?
20. 12.
12.
I said 12. 12? You sure about that?
Time flies,
Commissioner. Yeah. In other words, it was designed and we purchased it in a market that was markedly different than what we're facing today. Thus, staff brought to us a recommendation to study switching from that block slice combination to what is called a load following contract. And a number of reasons why. I think that as I've studied it, CORE is reduction of risk. And that has all kinds of fallout. But staff, you know, it's our responsibility, Commissioner, to, in our oversight role, to, you know, really take a responsible and reasonable look at all of our decisions. And this warrants careful consideration. And therefore, staff, pulled together internal staff, like 30 plus members, and actually to develop a proposal and actually then have that reviewed by a third party outside a consultant. And we were briefed on April 30th and on a special meeting on August 1st. With the results of the analysis, and it really boiled down in that analysis that with a product switch, there will be cost savings and reduction in the variance that we're experiencing today with a volatile energy market, and that change will result in our ability more stable long-term budget planning. That means to the customer rates that are more stable and predictable. And if we continue on the path we are today, that we're not going to be able to manage it. The market is so different, and I believe that staff has come to the right conclusion in recommending to us that we direct the general manager to proceed on with discussions with Bonneville about making this major shift in the products that we buy from them. So that's just my, I believe that we are fulfilling our promise to our owners that have taken very careful consideration of this and backed up by considerable staff study a research study and a very fair, that the board received a presentation on August 1st that, you know, showed the pluses and minuses very upfront about it. And that gives me confidence in what they are proposing to us. And, you know, they didn't, everything's not rosy. They identified that, but they also identified solutions to that. So I've been very pleased with this process, and I look forward to the board's action.
I'll start out, thank you for your words. I'll start out and say that this is, you know, probably the, maybe the biggest decision that I helped make so far in my time on the board. I want to thank all the staff that produced the analysis that we reviewed last week. I also appreciate very much, I mean, an outside expert confirm that analysis. This is an important decision we make today for our ratepayers and employees, and I have weighed carefully the potential benefits to our ratepayers, the potential cost to our employees. I believe that switching BPR products will provide more stable rates for our ratepayers. From my perspective, the increasing electrical loads in our region, combined with a lack of new baseload resources, plus increasing variability in our weather, have tipped the risk-reward balance from the block slice product to the load following product for our customers. Commissioner Wolf, do you have any follow-up comments?
Well, I certainly agree that we've had a lot of work that's gone into presenting our options. And I trust, I do trust that the skill of our staff has produced a good result for us to consider. The one thing I'm not really clear about, and probably should have asked this earlier, but if BPA is, okay, BPA is obliged to produce, I mean, to provide all the energy that we require. So does that mean that we cannot, absolutely cannot, purchase power from another entity, like Southwest Power Pool or CAISO or some other entity? Is that option off the table?
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Wolf. This is Garrison again. And, you know, it does not preclude other procurement of power, either from non-federal resources, physical resources like wind or solar, or potentially even some market resources.
Okay.
We will assess that in the next IRP as to, you know, what the appropriate portfolio of the future looks like, but it gives us a really good backstop and a foundation to build from. So we'll still have optionality.
Well, given that, I really think that we're on the right path here. And I'm grateful for all of the work that's been done, and I agree with what the other two commissioners have said, and especially that this is a really significant time of decision making. I really value all of the good thinking and good planning and collaboration that you have done to get us to this point.
Thank you, Commissioner Olson. Commissioner Olson, any follow-up?
No, other than Commissioner Wolf, thank you for your last question. That was the one I couldn't remember, so thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. No more comments from the commission. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next is item six, our CEO General Manager Report. Do you have a report for us this afternoon, John?
I do. A couple items to share. First, from our corporate communications group, summer is well underway. In fact, it's hard to believe that we are already into August, and we continue to get out into the community, including AquaFest, Connect to Casino Road, the Stanwood Communal Fair, and several parades. Our National Night Out continues to be a big night for us, as we had presence in Snohomish County at Willis Tucker Park and in Salton to discuss the Connect Up program. On July 23rd, Taylor Ostrander kicked off our new district-wide continual improvement change champion team, in support of our renewed effort in making continuous improvement a fundamental part of the district culture. 23 team PUD members attended the meeting and have agreed to be a part of this important cross-functional team and cross-functional work. From our customer and energy services group, this past spring, our strategic partnership team in energy services supported the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency's application for EPA Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Funds. Last week, EPA announced a $50 million award for programs in King, Pierce, Kitsap, and Snohomish counties focused on decarbonizing heating and cooling systems. And we'll have more details to follow in the significant funding. Employees from Customer and Energy Services participated in the Connect Casino Room Carnival on Saturday, August 3rd. They shared information about energy efficiency initiatives and rate reduction options, in addition to assisting children with painting hands and sons for the El Sol project. And from our Generations Power Rates and Transmission, the City of Arlington, and this is to Aaron Swaney's point in his update, the City of Arlington code change needed for the 25 megawatt battery project was approved this past week by the City Council. This is a major step, and a huge kudos to Scott Gibson, Jessica Spar, and Brenda White. Jessica, Scott, and Brenda really worked hard to build a strong relationship with Arlington and take time to educate them on the batteries. The permit applications now can be submitted, and so we will continue to move forward with the battery project. And that is it. Open for questions and comments.
Any questioners? Any questions, commissioners? Commissioner Wolf?
No, I have none. Thank you.
I'm pleased to hear about that battery project is moving forward, because it now is yeah. going to play a key role as we transition to products.
I have no questions. Thank you for your report. Next, item 7, Commission Business, 7A Commission Reports. Are there any reports, Commissioner? Commissioner Wolf, do you have any reports for us?
Not this time, no.
No.
I have none either. We'll move on to 7B, our Commissioner Events Calendar. Are there any changes to Commissioner Events Calendar? It's on page 80, starts at 80, page 85 of our report packet. So we have Safety Days and the Fair coming up. Commissioner Wolf, do you have any changes to it?
No, I don't see any need to change anything.
No.
Okay. Next, we'll move to 7C, our June 2024 District Performance Dashboard. Do you have any questions or comments, Commissioners? Commissioner Wolf, do you have any?
No, I looked at it carefully, and I think that I don't have it right in front of me at the moment because I'm looking at the agenda again, but the budget, let's see, I can't remember. We are on our expenditures were down considerably, and I was wondering about that. Is that just because we've had better weather conditions this year? I mean, in the last few months.
I'm not sure I'm following your question.
Well, I was. I wish I had that right in front of me. Hold on just a moment. Okay. Well, I was noticing that our expenses, our capital expenses, were considerably lower.
Am
I reading that right?
Yeah, they dipped a little bit in June, and that can be a timing issue, but Scott is here, and he's wearing a jacket today, so it would be an absolute waste of him putting on a jacket, which I haven't seen for a few years. Waste an appearance on the podium.
Well, so many factors play into the timing of this, so.
You're something. After I gave you a thumbs up last week. Yeah, I was actually just pulling it up real time, and I'm sorry that I looked at it last week when we put it in the package, but I was just pulling it back up. It looks like capital spend was roughly on track for the year. It might have been a little bit under for the month. And so broad overview, our revenue is doing fairly well so far this year. In fact, we've got early indications for the July numbers that July was a pretty good revenue month as well, as you would expect with the heat. Penetration of air conditioning is going up. Expenses were over. The ELT is actually in the process right now of looking at some cost-cutting measures for the second half of the year, just to try to manage some of those expenses down and shuffle some capital expenditure planning. Capital is about where we expected it to be. We were projecting it to be quite a bit over for the end of the year, but we're going to try to maneuver a little bit to get us back closer to on track. I expect in the next month or two, you'll probably get a little bit more clarity with the forecast on how we think we're going to land. We're in kind of a transition mode right now on waiting for summer revenue to materialize so we can get a good idea on that, and then see how this ELT prioritization planning is going to work so we can see what we'll land. So I think in the next month or two, we'll have a better story to, more, a more clear story to tell you.
Yeah, okay. And for the water generation financial performance, that's looking pretty good too.
Yeah, water has been doing a little bit more on track. And their capital spend is behind, but a lot of that is just shuffling of where the projects land. As warm weather gets here, they'll work on more projects. So I don't think we're too worried about water right now.
Okay. Well, sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, please continue if you have something more. Commissioner Olson, I always have in the back of my mind, however, that bulk purchase, product change, et cetera, we are still facing some period of time where we're not out of the woods in terms of budget, financial, where we are in the financials with a whole horrible list of things with the cost of it. So is that still the case? We're not over the hump yet.
Well, I don't want to be a doomsday alarmist, but
oh,
yes.
You're
right. I would characterize it, and others can chime in, but number one, if we are going to do a product switch with VPA, it's not going to happen until next fall, which means we've got another winter to get through. So we've got a lot of smart people managing energy risk management, trying to make sure we've got the products we need to get through the winter. But yes, put on your seatbelt. We've had two tough winters in a row, and so we're doing our best to try to plan ahead for that upcoming winter. So we've got another winter we need to get through. And then the rest of it is storm uncertainty, continued supply chain challenges, you know, inflationary pressures that are greater on electric utility equipment than they are on the rest of the world. Milk may be going up by 2%, but you know, we're still seeing some inflated prices on a lot of electric equipment and labor.
Inflated over what we were seeing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we gave you a supply chain update a few months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of prices we're talking about. Wires up 75% to 80%, transformers are up 100%. I mean, you know, those, it's not like they go up and then they fall back down by 100% or, you know, 50%, they stay up. And so we've got a lot of value of inventory sitting in the warehouse and a lot of increased cost on those projects and those capital projects and O&M projects we're doing. So we're still weathering through that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just add, and Scott's touched on this a number of occasions, but we are really trying to play the long game and not just manage real time or near term, but think about this strategically and how do we, you know, overcome the financial impacts from the last couple of years, the last 18 months, and do that with the least amount of negative impact to our customers, and really looking out 3 to 5 year mark with very modest rate increases and other adjustments that can make that trend line a little smoother, but to get to the a good place where we maintain financial strength and stability, and again, do it in a cost-effective way.
I think this relates to a lot of things that we work on. I was reading today in END News that Department of Energy is rolling out $2.2 billion for grid upgrades. And I was wondering, how much is transmission going to cost us? And that is only through the BPA, right, generally? We don't have our own grid expenses, do we? Or at least not a significant amount of the grid cost for the grid.
Not on the transmission side, not on the transmission grid.
That the transmission, right, transmission, uh-huh. So I think my question is, what transmission costs us is paid through the BPA costs? And do we have other than that? Do we have our own transmission expenses separate?
So we do pay Bonneville for transmission to get their product to us.
Right.
Our own transmission system that takes it from Bonneville to our substations.
Yeah.
And we just made a major upgrade, like you made a while ago.
Yeah, we have some transmission of our own transmission, but I almost think about that as part of our distribution system, different than the transmission grid that BPA and the rest of the power is delivered via. The bulk of those transmission costs are for us are with BPA.
And they're for the non-federal resources that we have.
Well, even for the federal resources.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, we're paying BPA as the transmission owner.
Oh, no, I understand that.
Yeah,
but,
power on. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was really good news that we can expect $2.2 billion. And this is something that President Biden is trying to wrap up before he leaves office. So good for him.
Yeah, there is no doubt there is a significant need for transmission build across the West.
Right.
Keys to us in our transition, in our energy future. It's not just on the generation side. It's as much on the transmission side.
True. Yeah, I hear about it a lot. Okay, thank you so much, Scott. And thanks for that jacket.
Well, since Scott wore a jacket today,
I feel honored that you would do that.
I wasn't going to comment on CapEx, but I've always been frustrated in the past that we're often not spending our CapEx. It looks like we're on target because CapEx means improvements to our system and reliability. So I did want to say it looks like our OSHA recordable injuries trend is better this year.
Yes.
And I'm really impressed at the Mice Notepad app logins, up 115%. So that's wonderful that people are using that.
Yeah.
That system. So that's all the comments I had on the performance dashboard. Any other comments or questions, Glenn?
I have none.
Okay. No, I'm grateful for the dashboard.
Okay. Next is item 8, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
No, I think I'm looking forward to these, though, the ones that are to be scheduled.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Is there any further business coming before the board today, Commissioner?
No.
I have no more.
Hearing none, it is now 2:24 p.m. and the board will recess into executive session to discuss the legal risk of current practice or proposed action under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meeting Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 30 minutes and will conclude at 2:54. The regular meeting will adjourn upon the conclusion of the executive session. It is now 2:54 and the executive session will be extended for approximately 30 additional minutes and will
conclude at 3:24 p.m.